Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Whew. Come on. Do you feel that? He's here. He's already there. He's waiting for you. Let me tell you something. The way the church is moving nowadays, it's the generation that's been talked about for so long. Because we can't get by anymore with just walking into the church and sitting there and going through the daily routine and everybody thinking that you're good. Oh, can we get excited that He's moving? He's moving in a way that when you walk with Him, you are different. There's no way that we can just walk into the church anymore and get by. There's going to be a separation that happens between the ones that are just sitting and that are just there and playing church compared to the ones who are walking. Oh, come on. You are a reflection of the Father. You are. You're a light that shines bright. And there is nothing that you cannot hide it. And that's something we want. But let me tell you that He's looking for you, that desperate, just like the last song talked about. Wanting it, needing it, going after it. That hunger and thirst, it's apparent. Let me tell you that He's wanting to make some moves. Things that you always just thought were a part of the Bible, they're meant to be a part of this world. They're just a part of the kingdom. But the Bible tells us, let it be done on earth as it is in heaven. Oh, when He sent the Holy Spirit here, the desire was that you would commune so that He could unlock the mysteries of the kingdom, that the kingdom might be evident here. Oh, come on. Guys, we're not just a church. It's not just playing church anymore. God is a lifeline for people who desperately need Him. And it's not okay to just get by playing church anymore. And you're gonna start to feel it and you're gonna start to realize, I gotta go. You're gonna feel that urging that pushes you forward. Let me tell you that you are meant for great things. Tommy, I don't know what it is, but I was looking for you during worship, and now God's telling you I've placed gifts within you for a reason. Stop withholding them, because the gifts I've placed within you, as you pour out, I will continue to pour in. Holy smokes. Come on, guys. He's doing some amazing things. And the things that He has for each one of us are things that He's wanting to just bring out in our life. They're things that you may be stuffing down deep. They're things that you may be feeling aren't for now, that I should wait, that I should hold off. But let me tell you, God's wanting to give you more. So listen to His word. When He tells you go, you go. Don't let anything get in the way, because as you move forward, He's going to continue to build you up. He's going to continue to give you more. He's going to continue to place things within your life like you've never seen. He's got more for you. He has so much more for you. That's why we teach that you got to be dependent on Him. Because we are here to encourage. We're here to lift up. But it's you. You gotta go after Him for the things that He's got for you. Because He's got something different for each and every one of His children. He created you to be exactly who you are meant to be.
The word says that you have a wineskin. The wineskin that you have right now is an old wineskin. It's getting hard and crusty because God wants to pour something new in you. that he wants to give every single person here a new wineskin, a wineskin of new way of thinking. And it's not just going to be in your head, it's going to be in your heart. And that's what we're teaching the women, is that they have new wineskins. They can do all things through Christ that strengthens them. They are the joy of the Lord. That's why we get so excited. It's not because we are getting together. It's because he comes with us. He is in us, and he wants to come out of us and be so incredible. He wants us to see him as a light, not as a darkness. We got to stop looking at the darkness to see the light. So look at the light. Stop looking at darkness. The darkness around you is going to fade away if you bring in the light. The light is him. And you have to be in relationship with him. He wants you to have a new wineskin. So be blessed.
I'm in a new season of my life. I've been here about 3 years. And what one of the songs said to me, Lord, I will open up again, throw my fears into the wind. And that is what I've felt since I moved to Green Valley, that it's now a season when I need to do that. I have been meditating on I am. I am using that. I am using that a lot as I am a child of God. I am covered with the blood of Jesus. I am his arms. I am his legs. I am his voice. And I'm in a position now where I can help so many people by being the I am that God, Jesus, wants me to be. And thank you for welcoming me into this church.
Well, as you all know, tomorrow is Memorial Day. It's the day that we honor our fallen soldiers, men and women who served our country and gave the ultimate sacrifice. Those men and women did for us so that we could have the freedoms that we have here in the United States. So often we have a Bible and it sits on a shelf. We don't know the words that are in that Bible. Some of us. Sometimes we don't look at it daily and we don't understand our walk with Jesus. It's time, people. We have people in other countries who can't own a Bible, who die, who are tortured, who are maimed because they have a Bible. They can't meet in churches like we can. This is where we come together and we share the love of God. We're encouraged by the people who preach to us. We're encouraged by each other. We pray for each other. But people, we have to start living this word. And there's power in this word. There are victories in this word. There is hope in this word. We need to be walking and sharing and loving and caring and helping those who don't know him. We need to share his love, his hope. It is time now for us to rise up and begin to live our word. If you don't read any book, read the Bible. It gives truths to us. It gives us historical data to walk on, to, you know, the prophecies. It shows us the truth of today. Our world is hurting, and we need to be, just like she said, you know, the feet, the hands. And we can make a difference in people's lives. But it's time for us to rise up. And it's time for us to show God that we appreciate him and that we are walking in what he has given us. We are empowered people. We need to start walking in that empowerment and start seeing the miracles that he says that can be happen now and today. He said, greater things shall ye do. And he did a lot of mighty things. So can you imagine, people, if we started walking in his word? So please honor those men and women who sacrificed their lives so you could have freedom to read a Bible, to go to church. Just know the love of Christ is so important in our lives. If there's anything, any truth, that's it. And that helps us to be who we are. It helps us to do the things we have to do outside in the world. So be blessed and know that God is with you And he goes before you, he's beside you, he's behind you, and sometimes he carries us. So be blessed and thank those men and women who sacrifice. And if you get an opportunity, thank the families, because now they're without their loved one. And they walked in allowing that person to go and serve their country, and they stood for them, and they walked with them, and they served with them, and they deserve us to tell them thank you. So tomorrow, be blessed, and be blessed in God's word. Thank you.
So, you know, there's this image I just cannot get out of my head. Like, you know, there's, you know, people that are just looking for breakthrough. You know, it's just like banging. Lord, you know, I need breakthrough. And it's not coming. But, you know, the issue is that we're over here. It's like, you know, God, didn't you say if I told this mountain to move, it would move? You know, what about these promises that are in your word? But you're over here. And there's actually this voice over here saying, I don't want you over there. That isn't what I have for you. The path that God has for us is narrow. It's not broad. If we're not walking by the Spirit and we're walking by the flesh, we may be thinking that we know what the solution is to whatever issue we're going through, but it's really God who has an answer for us. There's a time where Elijah was being chased by Jezebel, and you know, he shows up in a cave, and there's that still small voice. What are you doing here? So I just encourage you that whatever it is you're going through, and whatever you think the answer is, make sure it's God's answer. Make sure that it's what he wants for you. Because, you know, there's been some things that I've been thinking about, even myself. Maybe I'm just, like, preaching to myself, where I'm just saying, you know what, if I just did this, if I just did that, and I've even been, like, successful at these certain things, and it's like, you know, I can make it happen. You know, God's blessed me in this. And it's like, well, did I really ask God? Is this really what you want me to do? Because, you know, just because you're successful at something doesn't necessarily mean that that's what God has for you. Because, you know what? He could have something so much better for you. Okay, I've said this, I don't know how many times in, like, the past, like, month and a half, that, you know, his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. There's something in there that God has that we don't see. And without seeking God, we don't have that revelation. Without that revelation, we don't have our promise, the true promise and purpose that we're looking for. So I just encourage you that whatever it is, you may be speaking to a mountain that's not supposed to move. And that instead what you do is you just go on that narrow path where maybe you don't see the end. You don't see how that's going to lead you to a promise. But instead, just trust in the Lord. Just like, okay, what's the next step? All right, I'm here, God. What now? I'm here, God. What now? Because that takes faith. Knowing the answer and knowing the end, that doesn't, you don't need to hope for that. You know where you're going. So even though it's difficult, just trust God. Because whatever that path he puts you on is, it's going to be so much better than what you've already planned for yourself.
Thank you, brother. Praise God. Hallelujah. I heard a word this weekend, or last weekend, I should say, and it was favor in every flavor. Say that to your neighbor next door. Favor in every flavor. Favor in every flavor. No matter what you're going through, Can I tell you that God's got favor upon you? It may not look like you something you want to be going through, but there's a flavor in that. You know what? How many of you know what to do whenever things are going wrong? The Bible says to offer a sacrifice of praise. Amen. Just offer up a praise. Just, I mean, hey, it doesn't look good, but I'm going to praise you anyway, Lord, because I know that there is favor in every flavor. Amen. Hallelujah. How many of you like all the flavors around you? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. You got favor in every flavor. Hallelujah. That's a word for you. Go around saying that this week. God, I've got favor in every flavor. When somebody bumps into your car, I've got favor in every flavor. Amen. Hallelujah. When somebody, hijacks your backpack, you got favor in every flavor. Does it happen in school sometimes there? Come on, man. Favor in every flavor. Hallelujah. No matter what you're going through, he loves you and he's with you and he'll never release you. Hallelujah. The word of God says to draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. Amen. So I just continue to draw near, draw near, draw near. Because I'm telling you that we are in a day where he does want to place. He is where the scripture says you have the mind of Christ. He is opening that up to the body of Christ. Do you understand that? The mind of Christ, God is saying it's time, it's time, it's time. The mind of Christ, favor in every flavor. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hey, how many of you coming to the picnic next week? Come on, we got, hey, man. All right, don't lie, don't lie. Come on, come on, man. Come to the picnic, we're gonna have fun. We're gonna worship, we're gonna do some worship out there. We're gonna have a late bonfire and everything. God's already given me a message. I mean, as I was sitting at my son's this weekend, I was sitting out back, and my son, and where he lives in the apartment complex he lives, there is an exit that comes out right from underneath his apartment. And I was sitting there and I'm looking, and the Lord said something to me. Henry, I got something for you. I said, Harv, come on. Come on. How many say that? Amen to that? Come on, God. Yeah, what you got? Here's your message for next week. Living above the exit. So just think about that. And that's what we're going to preach on next week. Today, this morning, I thank God. We were at the airport last night, about late, and I'm so thankful. Tommy and I have been talking, and I say, hey, man, you want to preach on Sunday? Because I'm not sure when I'll be getting back, and it's probably a good thing, because I would have probably not slept last night trying to get you something fresh. Amen. But I believe my little brother, my little son, Tommy is, men of God, everybody needs kind of a Timothy in their life. Kind of a young man that they just pull on and hold on to, and that's what this young man is to me. He's like a son. He's a spiritual son. How many say amen to that? I mean, every one of you ladies, find a spiritual daughter, and you watch what God will do. Speak to them. Speak to them. Speak to them. Speak to them. They don't believe you. Speak to them. Speak to them. Speak to them. Amen. They don't care what you're saying. Speak to them. Speak to them. Do that to your children, to your grandchildren, and your spiritual children and grandchildren. Continue to speak God's word to them. Build them up. Strengthen them in the things of God. Amen. Hallelujah. How many say amen to that? That's what builds the body of Christ. That's what builds family. That's what builds the kingdom of God on the earth. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So, Tommy, hey, come on up, brother. Let the Holy Spirit have his way. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Amen. I forgot to ask for a table because I have a lot of notes and I need a lot of space, but thank you. Well, it is an honor. It is truly an honor to be standing here before you in the house of worship, the house of prayer, and the Father's house. I'm truly humbled to be here right now. I will do my best to keep my composure as we go along this journey. There was some things that were spoken earlier during that time of worship. And it's funny, as Christians, we have a language. I call it Christianese. And so we hear these things that if you're in the church, they're familiar to you. But if you're not, or you're a new Christian, or then you're like, what are they talking about? So kingdom, what's that? Wineskin, portal. You know, these real cool words, I guess. But the king is just. He's just here, and I can feel his presence. I can feel the weight of this moment. And so I'm going to try to just move forward and keep going. And I need a long runway to get going. But once I get going, this is the first time that I can remember that I've actually shared on a Sunday morning. And I've been with Henry for many years, over a decade now, I think, where, like he said, he took me in, and I asked him to be my mentor, and instead I got another dad. And my dad's here today, and my other dad's here, and surrounded. I'm just in the midst of fathers, and that's awesome, so... But before I get started, I was just thinking, so those words again, wineskin, what is that? And I just feel it's something that I want to share with you what that is. Wineskin is a way of thinking. So when you hear about, an old wineskin and a new wineskin, it's a way of thinking. Henry was talking about the mind of Christ this morning. He prayed over me this morning and say that the mind of Christ be upon you and take over and be in this place. He mentioned it right now too. So the mind of Christ, a new wineskin, an old wineskin, what is the significance of having that or coming into new wineskin? It's because when the Lord says, I want to pour out my spirit, I want to pour out something new, it's not new to him, but it may be new to us because we've learned how to do things a certain way. Religion has taught us how to be, how to think, how to come and sit, given us expectations, say, hey, you get saved, you go find a Bible-believing church that meets your likes, and then you find a good seat, and you tithe, and that's life, and you go, and you hunker down, and you wait for the king to come and rescue you from this world that's falling apart. That's the mindset of religion that says, hey, you get excited about something, and then the rest is kind of, you just wait. That is not what he wants to pour his spirit into. So he's going to say, hey, that old wineskin, it's got to go. Because I got something for you that old structure cannot hold and contain. If he begins to say things to you, and you have an old way of thinking, it's not going to hold. It's not going to stay. It's going to just... You'll get excited about it for a moment. It's just going to leak out. He wants you to hold everything that he has for you, and not just hold it, but to be filled to overflow. He came that we might have life and have life more abundantly. Well, what is that? What does that mean exactly? Another kind of phrase, right? It's in the Word. And I have a lot of scripture. We may not get to all of it, but it's just going to go. So I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. He came that you might have enough for you and everyone around you that you come into contact with. By what? By just being you. He's called you. And here's another thing. We hear, he wants to use you. Okay, that kind of sounds good. You know, he wants to use me. I'm worth something. But if you've come from certain backgrounds or growing ups, whatever, that's not necessarily a good thing to be used. I'm going to change a mindset today and I may offend the religious spirit. I'm not worried about that. I'm not. He wants to love you. He's passionately in love with you. That's why he came. He came not just to take away our sins, and that's great and that's awesome, and that's a message that we hear. He came to seek and save that which was lost. It was never a matter of ownership. It's never a matter of, what do I mean by that? The story of the prodigal son. I like to call it the story of the redeemed son. I think a better message is the story of the father's heart. That's the story right there. The son left and did his thing. He was still a son. Whether he was in the house or whether he left and he was away and he was in the pig pen and all that. If you don't know the story, read the story. But he came back and daddy was waiting. Daddy was looking far off. It was a matter of him coming into agreement with who he really was, a son. He was a son. And when he came back, daddy was waiting. Daddy went and met him. Daddy embraced him. He clothed him righteousness. He put sandals, his own sandals on his feet, peace. He put a ring on his finger, authority. He completely restored him. And this is what he didn't do. He didn't say, hold on, servants, go get him cleaned up. Go wash him up so I can bring him back into my, so I can welcome him back properly. No, he went out and he met him. Hey, that's kingdom. That's kingdom. That's sonship. That's who our father is. He's a good daddy. He's a good daddy. Again, I got good daddies too, and they're both in this house, so it's an honor. Okay, well, let's try to get to the intro and see where we go. Here's another thing. Henry usually, I've had the opportunity to come and spend time with the men's breakfast a lot, and Henry will say, "Hey, man, you got a word?" It's like a 5 minute. We got a 5 minute challenge, you know, like it's like a shotgun thing, so a lot of people can share. And I was like, man, that is a challenge. 5 minutes. Okay. Well, we'll do that. Well, today he did not give me a 5 minute challenge. So if you nod off and fall asleep, perfectly fine. If you're hungry and you got to go eat, hey, I will not be offended if you have to walk out. So here we go. Praise God. I'm just going to pray real quick and then we'll get going. Father, we thank you. I thank you for being in this house today. I thank you for being just a loving Father, God, and surrounding your people with their love. I pray that today, Father, things would break off. Shame would not be invited ever again. That we would see your love, God, see your love for us, and be able to receive that love. To walk and be the people of God that you've called us to be, just loved by you, God. Let our eyes burn. Let people see, Father, in our eyes burning, Father God, the passion that you have for us, God. And let that passion change the world, God, the world around us, Father. And those, Father, that we come into contact with every day, God. Have your way in this place, Father. We invite you, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, no other spirit. Spirit of distraction, you're gone. Confusion, be gone. Spirit of religion, you're not invited into this place ever again. Holy Spirit, come. Have your way. Change and break our heart for what breaks yours, God. We thank you, God. Have your way. Lead us. wherever we may go, Father, because wherever you lead us, we know that you're going. So have your way again. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Well, I'm going to go to Genesis. I guess it's good to start at the beginning, so let's try that. Genesis 37, verses 1 through 3. I'm going to read it. New King James says, "Now Jacob dwelt in the land where his father was a stranger, and in the land of Canaan." This is the history of Jacob. Now, this is interesting. This is the history of Jacob. You think, okay, that's going to talk about Jacob's life, which is very interesting and chaotic and soap opera-ish, if you've read it. So you think, oh, we're going to hear about his life. But what does he say? This is the history of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought a bad report of them to his father. Now Israel, which is Jacob, loved Joseph more than all his children. So if you don't know the story of Joseph, Joseph was a dreamer. Joseph is the one that got the coat of many colors from his dad. He was the favored son. Why was he favored? Because Joseph was the promise of Jacob and Rachel. Jacob loved Rachel, and long story short, ended up with other wives before he got Rachel, finally got Rachel, and then had 10 sons. And finally, here comes Joseph, the son of intimacy, the son of the relationship of his true love. So that's who Joseph is. And Joseph came at a very old age, like a lot of the other sons before him, Abraham's sons and so forth. So that's who Joseph is. And it says here, Israel loved Joseph more than all. So there, what that is showing me right here, Joseph, he grows up, and he's loved. He knows he's loved. He's taken care of. He's given maybe extra benefits here and there. He's taught. He's kept away from the brother's hard work and all these other things. And that's all he knows is the love of a father, the true love of a father. So you jump down to verse 5. It says, "Now Joseph had a dream." Joseph was a dreamer. Because of his place of confidence, of rest, what we're going to try to get to today, Joseph could dream. He could see things that were not yet, but that were already in the spirit. His brothers had to work hard. They had to go labor. That's what they knew. They had to work and help to provide for the family and so forth. Joseph he was given permission to dream. In the place of sonship, we're given permission to dream. In the place of rest, we're given permission to think, hey, if someone tells you, hey, you can do whatever you want, whatever you put your mind to, if you're told this, if you're taking care, if you're loved and you know that you come from that place, dreaming is a secondary consequence of that place of rest. So it goes on and talks about his dreams. You go down to verse 7. I'm sorry, verse 9. It says, "Then he dreams still another dream." So guess what? You dream one dream, here comes another dream. I've had dreams, I've had visions about this place. Me and Henry have spent years talking about things. God has placed dreams and visions. We'll be having dinner or lunch or something. And all of a sudden, we just start talking, and then we start seeing things. We start talking about things that God has given us. What does that do? As I have a dream, it gives him permission to dream. As he has a vision, it gives me permission to have visions. As he speaks a word of the Lord, even though my mind is like, what is he talking about? And I know he's said things in this place that you guys have said, what is he talking about? Because if you haven't thought that, then you're not listening. Because he says a lot of things, they're like, what? But when you hear it, your spirit's like, yeah. Oh, yeah. I get it. But by the time it gets here, it's like, old wineskin, right? Got to break that down so you can receive what the Lord is giving. James 1:8 says, it talks about a double-minded man. A double-minded man is unstable. He's restless in everything he does. If you're wavering between old wineskin or old mindset and new wineskin, new mindset, you're unstable. You're unstable. He's saying, just put that away. I'm going to build up a new mindset. I want you to have the mind of Christ so that I can give you things. I can give you words. I can say something to you as crazy as it might sound. You can receive it in your new wineskin, in your new mindset, and it can begin to come alive. And you can walk with me for a while, and I'll begin to show you some things until it becomes, it manifests in you. Perfection. Henry, we've been talking about this for years, over a decade. People get offended because of the word that says, hey man, you're perfect. Well, he wouldn't say it if it wasn't told to him first. He wouldn't say it if it wasn't here, multiple places. The religious mindset wants to justify or unjustify that word so that we can say, well, I don't know about that maturity. I like that one better. Let's go with that. Well, the word talks about maturity too. What is maturity? Simply this. Being obedient to the Holy Spirit. That's it. Simple. You come into maturity. You have to trust. You have to have faith that grows in you. And you become obedient to the Holy Spirit. We go all the way back to Abraham. Abraham left his homeland and went on Jesus, or the Spirit of God saying, hey, go. Okay, faith said, okay, I trust you. I'm going. Where are we going? I don't know. Just go. I'll tell you when you get there. That's maturity because he trusted the word of the Lord. That's maturity. Perfection is who, it's an aspect of who God is, and it's something he did as he was forming us. He made us in his own image. In the likeness of God. Is there anything not perfect about the image or likeness of God? It's in the word. That's that. So it's not, you don't have to believe it, but that's what it says. Now you may not act perfectly. He's not even asking for you to be perfect. He just wants your heart. He's passionately in love with you, with me, with us. He's placed in us some things that as we trust him will manifest. And let me see. What is the world? The world needs, we're out for souls, okay? I'm jumping around a little bit. I'm going to try to focus here and get back to my notes. But the answer for the world around you is the world within you. The only way that can manifest is when you, number one, trust that God is good. And number two, know that you are beloved. Probably the primary desire in the heart of man is to be loved. I think we have problems with thinking we're worthy enough to be loved. And that's where some of our problems come into, because of that mindset, the old mindset. Yeah, I'm not good enough. Well, if I did this, then maybe. We have all these excuses, but we need to believe and trust. Hey, number one, God is good. And that we are loved by him completely and totally. So rest. That is a place where I believe God is calling us into. Rest is not lazy. Far from it. But part of rest is letting go of sin consciousness or the Adamic mindset. What does that mean? What is Adamic? Adam. In the garden, Adam sins. He does what, you know, him and Eve, they do what God said, hey, just don't do that one thing. Before the Ten Commandments was the one commandment, and then we went back to two. So that's another sermon. But the Adamic mindset is sin consciousness. The law comes in, and what is the law? Sin and death, the law of sin and death. It exposes sin. It says, hey, you're dying because of sin, and let me expose it now. That's what the Ten Commandments is. It exposes sin, calls it out. When a lot of times we feel like, oh, you know, God cannot look on sin. Jesus up on the cross, we have this mindset of God was throwing thunderbolts at him and releasing his rage and anger on Jesus to, pour out his wrath on sin. That's not the case. It says that God was in Christ, reconciled the world to himself. He wasn't shooting lightning bolts at himself. He was redeeming. He was reconciling. He was saying, hey, I'm going to break up this old mindset and I'm going to allow you to now have a new mindset. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, they went and hid because they saw what was going on. They're like, oh, they saw something that they didn't see before, that shame came upon them. And they saw themselves through lenses of shame instead of just loved by God. Did God look away? Oh, they sinned. I'm out of here. Jesus in a few thousand years will go fix it. No. What did he do? Adam, where are you? Adam, where are you? He went and he looked for Adam. He went and instead of looking away, he went and I'm going to get in the face of that. He did it then. He's still doing that. He doesn't look away. He goes and gets in the face of sin. God's wrath, God's judgment isn't necessarily to come and, hey, I'm going to get you because you're doing bad things. He says, I'm going to get in the face of that thing that is separating you from me. I'm going to get in the face of that thing that is separating love from fulfilling everything that you need. That's what God's wrath is. Wrath and judgment against anything that would separate us from the love of God. That's who our Father is. That's what it means when we say God is good. Do we really believe that? We have to come into that mindset of agreement of who he is. So rest. There's three things that I think rest is shown in the Bible concerning where we're coming from, where we need to go to, and how to actually live in this place called rest so that it manifests the glory of God on the earth. So he makes us to lie down. What? Lie down? I thought I need to pick up my sword and my shield and my helmet and I need to go to battle. Because there's a war raging out there and I got to go frontline it. That's what we've been taught. Spiritual warfare, right? I'm not going to dismiss that there's spiritual warfare, but it's a different kind of warfare than I believe that we've been taught. A bill of goods that, not so much. Now, hang on. So it says, lie down. Are we hunkering down, holding on to life, to a lifeline of escape, waiting for the world to get bad enough and fall apart so Yahweh, Jesus, can come back and save us from this God-forsaken world? Are we designed and purposed to endure, to survive? Or has he created us for greater things? Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. He's called us to be transformative, not just to survive, not just to endure, not just to hide out until he comes, but to transform. Not just in our lives, not just the lives around us, but he's calling us to transform the world and beyond. All of creation, it says. All of creation is on tippy toe. Waiting for the sons of God to rise up and take their place. Woo! That is big. All of creation is not just the world or the galaxy. The entire cosmos is on tippy toe. The angels of heaven, every star, every being, every living thing out there. Trees, the ground, rivers that should be there, that will be there when sons of God declare and say, hey, Green Valley, be green again. Rivers start to flow. Creation needs sons under the authority of the king as ambassadors to begin to speak to it to bring it to life. That is far out. That's crazy. We want to say, oh, well, that's new age and that's weird. That's tree talking stuff. That's weird. It is weird. But any other religion out there is a counterfeit. It's not original. It doesn't have an original thought. Everything in this word, everything that proceeds from the mouth of God, that is what brings life. If we've abdicated the authority, that's not God's fault. If there's darkness in the world, that's not God's fault. We want to blame God for everything. Guess what? He's given us that responsibility. Again, we have to come out of old mindset into new mindset so these things become who we are and it begins to just flow from who we are. Kingdom. So religion says, hold on, it's getting bad, brother. It's getting dark. But glory to God, Jesus is coming soon. The kingdom man walks through the darkness and transforms it with light. The hope for the world, and I said this around you, is the world within you. This past year of pandemic, it can be looked at in different ways. It can be horrible, or it can be this rest that God is bringing us into. He makes me lie down. Psalm 23, 1 through 4 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down. In green pastures, he leads me beside the still waters. Or the Passion Translation says, the quiet brook of bliss. The Hebrew word for that is menua, which means the waters of a resting place. So he brings us to a resting place, a safe place. A harbor place, a cool grass, a green valley with waters, still waters, refreshing waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. Again, he's leading me for his name's sake. So what he's doing in us for our good is also for his good, for others' good. So that we can begin to radiate the image of Christ, radiate the likeness of God in the earth. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you're with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Yeah. God is good. And again, he says, I'm bringing you to this place. I'm going to lead you to this place. And he does make us, if we let him, lie down. I'm jumping around right now in my head about this, but when he makes us lie down, I think of when the angel came to Mary. The angel comes to Mary. She is one of the few people, I believe, in the scriptures that when an angel comes to, she's not really startled. Everyone else that an angel comes to, that first thing the angel says, hey, it's okay. It's all right. Have peace. I come from the Lord. You know, they come in comfort. It's okay. And usually it's the guys that are scared. He comes to Mary and Mary's like, hey, what's going on? To me, what that says is initially, maybe she hadn't been visited by an angel before, but she's definitely been in the presence of God before. So she knew that familiar presence. So she wasn't taken back by it. She saw something maybe different than she'd seen before, but it was something familiar. Whew. Come on. So he says, hey, you're going to become pregnant. You're going to conceive and you're going to give birth to the King, the Prince of Peace. She's like, what? How can this be? I've never known a man. I've never been intimate. She was betrothed to, or she's engaged, but she wasn't married. So it's kind of impossible. I said, hey, don't worry. The Spirit of God's going to come upon you. The Lord's going to overshadow you. That word is episkiazo, I think, in the Greek. So he's going to come upon you and you're going to conceive. You're going to conceive the King of the world. So there's this overshadowing that's about to happen in Mary that, let's see, I'm going to jump ahead because I think that's good right there. That is going to be the answer for the world. And it comes from an overshadowing. Episkiazo means to be enveloped in a haze of brilliance. It's not the only time that word is used in the scripture. And it's used in different places that are as significant, but they are producing different things for ultimately the same outcome. Overshadow, when we hear that word, I think a lot of times in our language, we think of, oh, there's someone better that can do something better than me or whatever. And their production or whatever overshadows my owner. So you get that. A major league baseball player overshadowing a little league player, that's maybe the picture that we get. This is totally, totally different. So that word maybe isn't a good word based on what we understand, but that's what it means, to be enveloped in a haze of brilliance. The other times we see that word is in Mark 9:7 at the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter, James, and John are up there with Jesus. A cloud comes and surrounds them. And Jesus is transfigured into brilliance. His clothes lights up. And something is happening in Peter, James, and John up in there, up in that place. Obviously to Jesus. But that same word is used. Mark 9:7. Let's go there. I'm gonna open up and read that here, because I don't think I actually have that in my notes. Mark 9:7. Here we go. I'm going to read it out of the Passion Translation. Are you guys there? I'm not. Okay, there I am. Just then a radiant cloud began to spread over them, enveloping them all. And God's voice suddenly spoke from the cloud saying, this is my most dearly loved son. Always listen to him. Jesus is up there and God speaks. God spoke before when Jesus was baptized. Said, this is my beloved son in whom I have great pleasure in, or in whom I'm well pleased. Again, when we do something good, oh, I'm proud of you. We get that maybe. But Jesus' ministry had not yet started before he was baptized officially. He was baptized. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Then he comes out and starts performing miracles, and his ministry starts. So before that happens, God declares over his son, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. If Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, needed reassurance from his Father, then it's okay that we need reassurance from our Father that we are loved. Let me reassure you, you are loved. He loves you. His passion for you is, well, he sent his son for us to seek and save us. The another time, and this is, I think, when we're getting into the message of the title of this, which is, what is it? Rest, the effervescent flow of light. I don't even get to light yet, but is Peter. So Peter, as we remember him as the cussing, swearing, Satan, get behind me, I'll cut off your ear guy. I'll deny the deny Christ guy three times. That Peter. That Peter has an encounter, a seed of encounter at the Mount of Transfiguration before his some of the other things that happened. But there was something that was placed inside of him. There was an overshadowing that conceived something in him. In Acts 5, 15 and 16, if we can go there. We see Peter. So this is after Jesus has ascended. Peter's beginning to preach. The disciples are beginning to go into all of the world and preach the gospel. And they're still kind of out there. But what's happening is the types of things that were happening with Jesus when he was walking. People would say, hey, this happened. We got to go out there and see him. We got to go out and listen. We got to go and get healed. Jesus didn't have the internet. Jesus didn't have phones. Jesus didn't have a marketer. He didn't have all of these things that we have available to us now. And yet he would walk out to get away. He'd go to his places, certain places. We might talk about that, but he was going away to spend time with the Father. And then when he would be coming back off the mountain or wherever, all of a sudden there's 20, 30,000 people there waiting to hear what he's going to do. Or he'd go into the synagogue to, you know, for a nice little Sunday or Saturday service, whatever. And the people would go, oh, what's he going to tell the Sadducees today? What's he going to tell the Pharisees today? Ooh, what's he going to do? Let's go watch. Let's go see what he's going to do. Word of mouth spread, and everywhere Jesus went, crowds began to form. Here, now it does say in the word that all the things that Jesus did, if they wrote them down, it couldn't be contained in all the books and it wouldn't fit in on the earth. So we know he did a lot of stuff that is not recorded. And then he says, these things and greater you will do. So one thing that isn't recorded that Jesus did, whether he did it or not, was something that Peter did. And so Peter 5:15 or Acts 5:15 says, so in fact, when people knew Peter was going to walk by, They carried the sick out to the streets. They laid them down on cots and mats, knowing the incredible power emanating from him, Peter, would overshadow them and heal them. People would take the sick out onto the streets, knowing, check this out, Henry walks this area every Thursday. Hey, he walks this area every Tuesday. Let's go out and just put the sick people over there. Because every time he walks over here, something happens. You feel that? You feel that? And what would happen? They would get healed. Would he say anything? He'd just walk. He would just walk. The rest that I believe that God is bringing us into, he says, lay down. Sit down. When Jesus would go out and pray and then come back, there's the story of him feeding the 5,000. The very first thing he did when they were like, hey, we got to feed these people, the disciples said, he's all, hey, sit down, man, sit down. He made them all sit down. They were antsy, they were anxious, they were hungry. And Jesus says, hey, sit down. He makes everybody sit down. It's a picture of rest. It's not a picture of laziness in any way. It's not a picture of, oh, I'm going to enter into this place. I'm going to get my hammock, my sweet tea, and I'm all good. And then I'll wait for the king to come and take me to another place. And instead of a hammock, I'll have a cloud and it'll be all good. No. He's called us to reclaim the earth. Adam forfeited his authority. He forfeited his call, which is, hey, subdue, multiply, and take dominion over this place. And then he said, okay, no thanks. They said, okay, Jesus, let's go get it back. You teach them, you show them, let's teach them to take it back. Sons and daughters, take back what's yours. Know you're loved. Know that the king is good and he loves you. And he's calling you to this place of rest, which is a place of effervescing power. And you don't, how do I put it? Fire. You start a fire. What effort does that fire, which you're going to have a bonfire next week, right? What effort does that fire, once it's started, what does it have to do to radiate light? What effort does it have to do to radiate heat? It just is. And it does because of where it is and what it does. There are fires that are beginning to be started in the earth. Fires of the kingdom, pockets of light, as Billy Graham, before he passed away, said, these are the visions that he saw. I see pockets of light coming up everywhere. Fire coming up everywhere. Did he say there's going to be new stadium revivals? No, he didn't. He said pockets of light, fire. People will see when you believe that you're loved, when you believe that God truly is good, it begins to change things inside of you. And people will, you don't have to say anything. You may, if he puts something in your mouth, let it out. But you just have to be. Jesus was episkiazoed at the Mount of Transfiguration by just being in the place where his father was. That cloud covered Peter, James, and John, and conception happened in them, that after a little bit of walking and growing and trusting began to manifest. And then Peter's walking down the road, and what episkiazo happens, and it overshadows, people start getting healed. He's walking a Safeway, people start getting healed. Hey, Henry, you need to have service on Saturday. People start getting set free. Just being. I'm going to digress just a second because it came to my mind and hopefully we'll make it back. If not, doesn't matter. It's my brother up here, baseball, softball player. A few years ago, the King took us in an interesting direction. I wouldn't have called it ministry, but it's ministry because it was an overflow of just life happening. So we started kind of playing softball, me and my wife, and in different places and stuff. And the reason why I was like, okay, let's go that way, I felt maybe, hey, he's got ministry for us. There's been years of stuff happening. So, but maybe youth, maybe children's ministry, because we're working with the kids, and maybe men's ministry, because that's my heart, or something else. I don't know. But God calls us and says, hey, gives us permission, I guess you could say, go and play. I'm like, what? But it was going to interfere with this other stuff. He's all, leave the 99 for the one. That's a hard message to hear when you think you should be doing something else. But it wasn't just one time or two times or three times. It was constant. And it wasn't just one or two. It was in different places and just constantly. That was the message that kept being reinforced. Finally, I yielded, said, okay, it's okay. Let's go. I almost felt, because of the old wineskin or the religious mindset, shamed, a little shamed, or guilty for doing these things, for doing this. But I had a good friend that said, hey, no, man. That's what you hear the King saying, then go. So we went, we started playing softball and everything. And by the way, I know for a fact, I'll even be stronger. This is the truth. Baseball, softball is God's game. It's the only game where the purpose of the game is to get home. It's God's game. So we're at a baseball game last night watching the Wildcats win the Pac-12 championship. It's pretty awesome. And they did it in dramatic fashion. But I'm just thinking, man, this is cool. And I was like, oh, but I got to get home because I got to pick up my other son who just started a job, and he gets off. And I'm like, oh, what do we do? But anyway, I'll blame Davin for making us stay all the way to the ninth inning. And an awesome outcome. Yeah. Dude hits it to left, almost hits a home run. The guy drops it. Guy at second scores, ball game, Pac-12 champions. Anyway, so I feel, man, I should be at home finishing up this sermon and putting it together. By the way, putting together a sermon is not easy. It's not coming up with a message. It's where do you start? Where do you stop? It was like, I don't know if you've done it. I remember in the summers, you play and you're hot and you go turn on the water faucet. You turn it on too big, it blows your face up, you know? But if you would try to drink from a fire hose, like they say, I mean, that would be, it'd destroy. That's what it was like. It's like, okay, this is what I really believe that God wants to talk about with rest, which I do, which I'm trying to get to, but scripture just became every thought. There was scripture to back it up. I gave these guys scripture, and I think I've already added scriptures references that are not even on there, but that's the King. It's in you. I've heard that before I begin to experience that. It's in you. Perfection is in you. The love of God is in you. The image of Christ, his likeness, it's in you. It's coming into agreement with that word. That's the hard part for us. That's the battle. That's where we have to pull out our swords and be like, ah, oh, I got to do battle against what? What I used to believe and what I should believe. The mind of Christ, what does that mean? Again, that's another phrase. It's a great phrase. idea. But what does it really mean? Nuts and bolts about it is, what does Christ, what does Jesus, the Son of God, how does he view God? How does he feel about God's love towards him? Christ is completely okay with God loving him. In fact, on the earth, he was always finding a way to go spend time with the Father, spend time in prayer. I don't do anything unless what I hear and see the Father do. Rest. He's completely okay with God and the love of God upon him. And that's the mind of Christ for us. He wants us to be completely okay with the love of God for us, because in that place, he can rest in confidence. Jesus is telling the prophet, hey, come up here. Come and sit right here. Let me show you some things. I'm going to teach you how to war a different way. Not front line, but up here. You don't have to fight. I have angels for that. You have angels at your disposal. That's the mindset that he's trying to bring us into. If we want to, we think, and hear me, it's not a bad thing. The purpose of the church, hey, let's go get souls, right? Let's fill up this church. That's a good thing. Jesus says, ask for the nations. Ask for the nations. That's the mindset of Christ. The world is yours. Because why? The world is his and the fullness thereof and everything in it. It's already his. We've abdicated, we've given up, we've forfeited authority. He says, everywhere your foot treads, declare, that's mine. I'm taking it back. Every field that we go and play on, every tournament we go to, every city, whatever, as soon as I get onto that, I begin to walk on that field, it comes to mind. Hey, this is the king's now. This field right here, this is God's. And I take it back. What the enemy has done here in the past was all illegal. And so I take it back. And this is the king's. Father, this is your place right here. This is your plot of land. I've been given permission by these people to be here. And well, they didn't have a choice, but now this is the king's. So every time I step on a field, it becomes the king's. It becomes the king's. And everything that happens there, guess what? Is under the authority of the kingdom of God. So you start thinking this way and start doing every, you drive the streets. Hey, we used to have a pretty high accident rate in the town many years ago. And I remember Henry has told this story about, hey man, why are all these wrecks and what's going on here? And the Lord told him, hey man, what are you doing? Pray over the streets. You have authority to pray over the streets. Take them back. So we began to do that. And guess what? Well, my buddy was the right-of-way manager at the time, and he gets all the crash data for the town. What happened? Crash data started going down. The streets got safer. Intersection, they got better. Why? Because a son of the king stood up, took authority, and said, no more. That's the mindset. That's not weirdness. It's weird when you bring it and it's not the mindset that you had. That is weird. But when he says, hey, you got to put that old wineskin away and you need a new wineskin because I want to pour this new wine into you that the old wineskin can't contain. It's going to break out and pour out all over the place. I want you to fill up. I want you to overflow. So when you walk again down the road, down the sidewalk, it begins to effervesce. You begin to be brilliant in the earth. Jesus is the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Same light. That's the word. That's not me. That's the word. And it's in one of the scripture verse references, but that's the word. If you don't believe me, I believe we'll get you a copy of all the scripture references. But get in your word. What does it say about who you are? What does it say about the king? We've taken what the word has said what it says, made it fit into our religious setting. Why? So we can justify or explain when God doesn't do something. Well, it's because of this. Oh, brother, be healed in the name of Jesus. Oh, you didn't kill. Oh, you must have a sin issue. Pfft, sorry. Oh, it must be God's will. Sorry. We have all these answers for failure to see the glory of God manifest on the earth. It's not God's fault. Sons and daughters need to step up. But first, sons and daughters need to realize, hey, I am a son, I am a daughter, and I am beloved by a good father. It's not the wrath of God. It's not him shaming you. It's not him trying to manipulate you. It's not a message of hell and damnation that brings converts. That is a very good, exciting message, and it can get you convicted or, what's the word? Condemned, scared. It'll get your attention, but guess what? It doesn't last. It is the goodness of God. What does the word say that draws men unto him? It is the kindness. It's the kindness of God that draws men to him. That's what the word says. Not the wrath of God, the kindness of God. So if the kindness of God is drawing men, that's what's going to change them. My conversion, whatever, when I was 7, 8, God was coming soon. He's coming now. Rapture's coming. Hey, mark of the beast. It was a scary time I won't say when, because then I'll age myself, and it doesn't matter. But we watched these movies about the end times and what it was going to be like when all these people were gone. And then if you believed in God, you had to get the mark. And if not, they could cut off your head. I mean, it was traumatic. And he was coming right now. And I'd wake up in the morning sometimes. I'd get up, where's mom? Where's dad? Oh, they're still here. Or if they're not there, oh, man. Who can I call to find out? Call the pastor. If he's still there, then I'm all right. You know? Now, Pastor Whately used to say that too, that when he was a kid, he would call his pastor when his parents weren't around, when he'd wake up to make sure he was there. If he was there, he'd hang up. Okay, the rapture didn't come yet. Because the pastor would be gone, right? But that got my attention. That brought me to the altar. That got me to say the prayer. And in my mind, hey, that was, I was living under this fear. But it wasn't until many, many years later that the love of God, that's what changed my life. He got up in my face and said, hey, here I am. I had known about him all these years. It wasn't until I knew him and he introduced himself personally to me that things began to set me on a path of, hey, there's something else. There's something going on. There's something new and real and purposeful. And oh, yeah. My first experience of experience, the presence and the face of God, I guess you could say, was in a rock worship concert in Albuquerque with my new wife. We're there having a good time at this concert. And then I'm sitting kind of in the back, and just kind of minding my own business. You know, they're doing like a worship set or something. And all of a sudden, I begin to feel this weight. Now, looking back, I'm trying to explain it. I feel this weight. It's the glory of God. I didn't know what that was. I was just like, oh, man, I must be tired. I feel this weight. And then the smoke, just like smoke, just pushing down. And it's getting my attention because it's like coming down. And it's thick. It presses down. And as it gets to me, I just feel it pushing me down. And I begin to weep. I'm like, what is this? What is this? It's the glory of God introducing himself personally to me. Hey, son, man, I love you. That's what his message was. And from that moment on, it was like, I got to get that every day. I need that. So worship was the avenue that I was familiar with that I began to press into. Many years later, I find him in reading the word. I find him in prayer, in moments of prayer. I find him just driving down the road. I see somebody walking and compassion breaks my heart for somebody that I don't even know who they are, what they're dealing with. And all of a sudden, compassion begins to, that wasn't me, it was God. God changing my heart. Does that mean that at that moment and now I've done everything just right? Mm-mm, no, I haven't. I've fallen down. I've made mistakes. But it says the righteous, though they fall seven times, boom, boom, get up. It's not that you fall. It's that you don't stay down. It's that you get up and get up quick. Get up quick. He'll bring you into on earth. Hey, you don't got to sin no more. You don't have to sin. We've been taught, hey, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. I'm a piece of dung covered in snow. That's the mindset. That's the mindset that we've been given, right? The religious mindset. I'm not that good. I'm not good. But thanks to God, I'm going to make it through. No, he's all, man, you're a son. You're a daughter. I love you. He puts his arms around us and pulls us in and draws us in. I have a hope and desire, and I'm seeing it in a way that my children and their children, they will never know anything but the true love of God. That they will not be drawn to God in fear, but know him by his love and his kindness and his goodness. That their minds aren't bent on, oh man, I got to get right because I'm so bad. We know when we do something wrong. We're convicted of that. People don't need to know, hey, if you don't give your life to God, you're going to go to hell. There's people, they're in hell right now, living in a hell on earth because of things they're going on. Hey, God loves you. God loves you not because of what you've done or what you're doing. He loves you because of who you are and who he made you to be. And that's a simple gospel. The gospel is good news. Good news. There's truth to fire, hell, and brimstone. Yeah, there's truth. And there's good stories. Revelation, man, we think of that as a rough chapter. But what is it? It's the revealing of Christ. That's what we should be looking at. Not, oh, when is he coming? What's it going to look like? He's revealing himself. And how does he reveal himself? He's going to do it in you. The world will know him when they know you. That's where he's bringing us into, that place of rest. The guitar player, if you want to come on up. If you don't know the King, I think to me, I'm not necessarily going to have an altar call. I'll have Henry come in a little bit later, but get right. You know, just say, hey, Lord, help me. I don't know what to do. Read some of the word right here, but ask him, Father, speak to me. Actually speak to me. Reveal yourself to me. I've always said that in order to truly be changed, you have to have an encounter with God. Mary had an encounter with the King and conceived the Savior of the world. Peter had an encounter with God on the mountain, and he comes out and he changes the world. Saul has an encounter with the King on a road, changes his name, changes the world. It's the encounter with the King, not just knowing what's right versus what's wrong. It's actually knowing the King and what he thinks about you and who he is will change who you are. And you'll come into, and when you come into agreement with that, when you come into agreement with, I am a son, I am a daughter. I'm loved by a good God, by a good Father. Then you can come into life, life more abundantly, life effervescing, knowing, hey, He was the light of the world. He is the light of the world. I am the light of the world. People will know you. You don't have to say a word. They'll see it in your eyes. They'll see it in your eyes. They'll feel it as you walk by in the wind that you move. They'll feel it. Your shadow, your skia, your episkiazo, the overshadowing of God in your life will overshadow others. This, the things that I believe that, that the dreams and the visions that God has given us, has given you, they take less effort from a mind will doing things to get it done. And they take more, hey, if that's what you said, then you will not start a work that you will not finish. Right? The King starts that work. He'll place things into you. A lot of times what you need to do, all you have to do is agree with it and speak it. I've talked with more people and spoke to them, simply just said, hey, an encouraging word that from another platform goes out and speaks to hundreds, thousands or whatever and changes lives. I didn't have to go and talk to each person. Henry didn't have to go and talk to each person. He just has to say what the King says when he says it and when he says to say it, and you just say it. It may fall on religious lenses and then get skewed, but he's saying, hey, just speak it. Trust. There'll be things that he tells you that'll say, oh, withhold that, but it's going to come back later. He's planting a seed. He's putting a seed in there and it's working, and then it's going to come forth. You know, trust the King. Trust His timing. He's never late. He's never early. He's always on time. Well, yeah, time's in His hand, so He can't be late or early. He just is, you know, God is. So I didn't get to page 2 and there's 4.5. But I pray that that you can receive that love. That's not just what He does. That's who He is. The King, God is love. That's who He is. That's who He is. He can't lie. He can't do anything but be good. That's just who. That's His nature. And guess what? You were created in the likeness and image of Him. So be, just be you. Come into you. Praise God, Henry. Thank you.
Hallelujah. When I saw the title, I saw that effervescent. You guys remember the plop, plop? Oh, what a relief. That effervescing. And I remember as a kid, I'd look at that and I'd go, where are those bubbles coming from? How many say amen to that? Watch a piece of Alka-Seltzer in the glass, you're going to see these things just coming out of them. And that's kind of the picture of, I believe, what Tommy's saying this morning. This effervescent, this flow of stuff coming out of you that's for the gospel, for the King of Kings and for the Lord of Lords. Amen. Hallelujah. Would you guys stand up? We're going to pray for you this morning. Did you enjoy that message? I hope you did, man. I enjoyed it. I mean, hey, if you get a chance, listen to it online and go to our website and pick it up and listen to it again. The messages before that, Pastor John, Brother Abe, McKay, Rebecca, listen to the things that are being said to you, because I really believe the Holy Spirit is speaking to the house. Amen. And you will pick up things that you didn't pick up. You'll remember things you don't remember just by going to those and listening to these messages. Amen. So I'm going to pray over you. I'm going to pray for that. For the release of the old vessel. How many say amen to that? Amen. The old wineskin. And for the refreshing of the new. Amen. How many say that? Amen. Praise God. So, Father, I thank you this morning. Thank you for what you're doing, Father. God, I speak to the old wineskins. Father, we consciously, with our own mouths, we say we let them drop off. Lord, refresh and renew these wineskins. Some of us have been, Father, have been walking with you for decades. And God, I just want a refreshing on the wineskin. I want to be refreshed daily by you, Father. Over the overshadow, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Lord, as we seek you, Father, as we enter into your presence, Father, let those things just bubble up within us, Father. Speak to our hearts. Speak to us, Father. Speak to us more and more every day. If you agree with that, say amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. We agree, God, in Jesus' name. Give us your mind to walk in today. Amen. Amen. Tell somebody, God bless you. Thank you for coming this morning. Sing this song on your way out, all right? Come on. Thank you for coming.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.